Welcome to the Hope Unyielding podcast. 2020 hit pretty hard, and if you're anything like me, you need a little more hope in your life. The goal of Hope Unyielding is to proclaim and experience God's faithfulness through the medium of personal story. I'm your host, Hope Johnson, and I have the privilege of hearing outstanding people from all walks of life share stories about how God has shown himself faithful in the dark or difficult times of their journey as a Christ follower. It's my prayer that this podcast will give you refreshment, new perspectives, and hope on your own journey with Christ. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Hope Unyielding. I'm your host, Hope Johnson, and today I'll be talking with Erica Renault. Erica Renault is a mom and wife to her worship leader husband. The majority of the time, she's a stay-at-home mom, homeschooling four of her five kids and managing chaos. Her side passion is speaking. She speaks regularly throughout the Northeast for various events and is the host of At Home and Abroad, a weekly radio program on Alive Radio Network. So I'm really excited to have you on today. I know your speaking has been really, really encouraging to me. There's a message that you gave at ministry like 2 years ago, and I still remember it. So I'm really excited to hear from you. You have some amazing stories. Just to get us started out, could you tell us a little bit about your speaking ministry and how you got into it?
Yeah, sure. So I feel like now that I am speaking, I can look back at kind of all these clues that are throughout like different stages of my life pointing me to speaking, though I feel like you don't, you know, you never see those clues when you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few things that got me started. I would say specifically not that long ago, I met a woman that was essentially like, you just need to go for it. You have it in you. You love it. You need to just start, you just create a path and start walking it. So that was the thing that really got me pursuing speaking intentionally. But yeah, as I look back, I can see all these different times in my life. I'm like, oh yeah, I am obviously called to speak. Like it's been there. Even like I'm the youngest of four kids. And as the youngest, if anyone listening is the youngest, you don't always feel super important. Like, I know I was important. I know I was loved. I guess specifically when it came to conversation, I didn't feel like I always had that much like value to contribute to the conversation. But I remember times that everyone was listening to me. I was like, wow, let's keep this going. Let's drag this story out a little bit and really have fun with this. So those are like, those are vague memories of early childhood. But then when I, clear memories when I was in third grade, I had a, Eighth grade. There was school. Third grade is cool too, but not regarding speaking. In eighth grade, I had an English teacher named Mr. Von Satina, and something happened in his life. For some reason, he was only our English teacher for half the year, the second half of the year. So the first half of the year, we pretty much just goofed off with this long-term sub that we all felt bad for. So Mr. Von Satina comes in as our English teacher, and he was really strict, but also like quirky in a intriguing kind of a way. So I had a lot of fun in that class, but I had more, because of it, I had more detentions with Mr. Von Satina than I had like throughout the whole rest of my high school, middle school, junior high experience. So yeah, a lot of detentions with Mr. Von Satina. But one of the things I remember about that class is we had a project. It was a presentation. It was supposed to be an instructional presentation, and we had to think of something that we could do and demonstrate it to the class with step-by-step instructions. So I grew up doing gymnastics, so I was like, well, the gymnastics. But I just simplified to a cartwheel, right? So I was like, oh, I'm going to teach the class how to do a cartwheel. So I started my presentation with, this is how gymnast Erica Parker, my maiden name, this is how gymnast Erica Parker eats a Reese's peanut butter cup. Do you remember any of those commercials?
Yeah.
So that was totally my inspiration. So I did a cartwheel, but I also took a bite of a Reese's cup like while I was doing a one-handed cartwheel. So it was a phenomenal intro as far as I was concerned. And then using an overhead projector,
Oh, wow. I remember those. I'm old.
I feel really old saying that. But anyway, using an overhead projector, I showed the class like step-by-step instructions on how to do a cartwheel.
Okay.
And basically concluded with, and when you master that, then you can do one-handed cartwheel and eat a Reese's peanut butter cup. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I nailed it. I got 100 on the presentation, mm-hmm. which is not only unheard of for me, because I never got hundreds on anything, let alone in English. I didn't get hundreds. Mm-hmm. But I also was I was maybe the only person in the class who got 100 and for the whole presentation. Maybe there's a couple other hundreds in there. I don't know. But I remember looking around and thinking, I don't see any other hundreds. And what was crazy is that was the easiest 100 I had ever gotten.
Huh.
And the thing was, I worked hard. Like, I remember preparing and going through it over and over and doing a lot of cartwheels in my kitchen, like practicing, you know, that one-handed cartwheel. So I did the work, but it was the easiest work I'd ever done.
Wow.
And I can just look back and remember how much I loved preparing for that, how much I loved delivering it. And yeah, that, you know, Mr. Bonsatina was really proud of me. I didn't get detention that day. So it's cool how I have stories like that all, literally, like in every stage of my life, that now I can look back on and be like, okay, God, like you called me to this. So when this woman came into my life and was like, you just need to pursue it, mm-hmm. And go after it intentionally, I was like, okay, huh. And it was then that I saw this trend where I could see those little like highlight moments, yeah. you know, in the timeline of my life saying, you're made for this. Hmm. You can do this. This is something that God has put in you. So start stepping.
Yeah. I mean, if I remember, you know, we talked probably a little while back about how it just kind of started happening, you know, yeah. it wasn't necessarily something that you were pushing. It was like, yeah. God just kept giving you more and more opportunities.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I remember even before this woman, I was just doing announcements at church and I was like, and just that announcements, me getting up there and saying announcements led to some opportunities, you know? So it's just like, yeah. So once I started actually like intentionally stepping in it, the balls just started rolling.
That's so cool. Because I mean, I feel like 90% of people hate public speaking. Maybe a little bit higher. So I remember my 8th grade public speaking class, I was terrified. And I went to a little private school and I had like 5 people in my class. So I had to work really hard to get over that. So that's awesome that it's like always been in you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So what would you say would be kind of your mission statement as a speaker? Like, what is it in you that you really feel called by God to proclaim?
That's a really good question. Yeah, a lot of people say, like, what do you speak on? I'm like, I don't know, the Bible, God? Like, you know? Uh-huh. But I think that's actually a way more valid question. Like, what is my mission in speaking? So I'm glad you asked that. Basically, I would like to speak clearly and faithfully to what the scriptures say. I really value highly studying the Bible a lot so that my starting point is always, what is the Bible saying? Not is, what do I want to say?
Right.
And how can the Bible support, you know, my generally biblical idea, you know, hopefully. But what does the Bible say? And I've learned, and that's actually, so my first 3 years of speaking, I set out to do nothing else other than figure out how to speak faithfully from the scriptures and communicate what the scriptures say. And I've really begun to, I've, through that process, I've learned to really appreciate deep intellectual study, word searches. I mean, from microscopic to, like, you know, word searches and this kind of thing to major, which is what was going on at this time. Who was the king at this time? What battles had just been fought? What is going to happen? All that kind of stuff. So minor, major, context. And so, I have a huge appreciation for people who really study and dissect the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And I've realized that you can never go wrong. If that's my starting point, I'm not going to go wrong. I'm just going to talk about what the Bible says.
Right.
So, and the other thing is, like, you know, I this probably comes from my husband being a worship leader, but I have discovered, I think I heard someone say this and I was like, oh my gosh, that gives words to exactly what I feel, which is, for some people, speaking is their form of worship.
I love that. Wow.
And as soon as I heard that, I was like, that's how I feel. Mm-hmm. That's my form of worship. Mm-hmm. When I, you know, get up on stage, or when I feel provoked to worship, it's like, I just want to speak. I just want to get up there and declare his goodness, his faithfulness, his glory. And my goal is to provoke others to worship.
Yeah.
Like, ideally, yeah, at the end of my speaking, people are worshiping. Like, yes, you know, I want to provoke hearts to know and love God. So anytime that I can speak that it ends in worship and prayer, that's ideal for me. That doesn't always happen, because that's not the way people always plan events. But that, I want to provoke others to worship. For me, speaking is my form of worship. So those are some things
that is so, that is so cool.
That's a round way of answering your specific question.
Well, because there is a lack of that in Christian culture today. You do hear a lot of messages that are more of kind of like, what do people want to hear and how can I slap a Bible verse on it?
Yes.
But when you're really looking to grow, you want to hear a message like the ones that you speak. You know, the one you spoke a while back was about looking to God for himself, not looking up to his face rather than his hands for what he's going to give you. And I don't know how long ago that was, but that really stuck with me and it rang true, because it is true. It's truth from scripture. It's not the prosperity gospel of name it and claim it that you hear so often. And it's like, he is better than the things I want. And so, like, that always comes back to me, that kind of metaphor. So God's using you so much, and I'm just really excited for you. So you have a really cool story, you and your husband. And this is, you know, as I thought about the purpose of this podcast, which is talking about God's faithfulness through story, I would just love to hear you talk a little bit about how you and your husband met and maybe what that showed you about God's faithfulness to you.
I still look at my own story and I'm like, wow, okay, cool. God, you're amazing. But I mean, basically my story is in high school, I just kept, you know, if following God is the straight and narrow path, I just kept running far, far from that, just in the other direction, just constantly getting derailed. But my heart was not, I did not have a rebellious heart. Mm-hmm. Like, I was constantly getting derailed by boys, by drugs, by drinking, whatever. But I prayed consistently. It was just like this reoccurring theme. It's funny, because actually I found my journals a few years ago, and it's just this reoccurring theme of, God, change me. I cannot change myself. God, I need you to change me. It was like, I recognized my own brokenness. I didn't want to be living apart from him.
Yeah.
I just was, I was a teenager. Like, I don't know. You know, I just kept going my own way. And willingly, it's not like I was forced in this direction. Right. You know, I'm not saying it wasn't my fault, but it was just so sweet to see that I continually was like crying out to God for him to change me. And I remember actually reaching a point where I told a couple of my friends this, said, I think the only thing that's going to change me is literally if I like hit rock bottom. And I had this image of myself being like a drug addict on the street. I didn't realize that I was actually quite far from rock bottom. But that's how I felt, because I had tried to change a bajillion times. I went through a 12-step program in the beginning of my senior year and just like week 13 crashed. So I just felt like that's the only thing that's going to change me. Mm-hmm. So God used different means to change me. It wasn't hitting rock bottom, you know, any crazy stuff. I became pregnant with a little girl at the end of my senior year. Mm-hmm. So he used that pregnancy, which, to listeners, I don't recommend you getting pregnant if you want to change your life. Don't plan on that. It's just that sometimes God uses that. So I became pregnant with this girl. It was the end of my senior year. God used that time that I was pregnant and the separation, because, you know, your friends all go away to college.
Right.
And so, you know, while they're buying dorm room supplies, I'm buying nursery room supplies and maternity clothes. But God used that time to weed my heart of all those desires that I struggled so hard with, all those things that I wanted to do that just felt like I couldn't get rid of them. It's like I just was continually drawn to those other things. And over the course of that pregnancy, God just changed my heart in that way. Also, that time he brought in, who's my husband now, Jesse. Mm-hmm. So Jesse is just like stable, handsome man, like smart, like, I don't know, homeschooled, just like so rock steady.
I love the homeschooler.
I was homeschooled, so.
Oh, good.
Like, and it's funny that I say that, like, all throughout high school, like, I mocked homeschooling.
Yeah.
So I was like, I mean, no offense, but I was like, oh, their pants are too short. They're probably homeschooled. Like,
yeah.
And now all my kids have pants that are too short. But anyway, he was just, the thing was, he was just so steady and mature.
Uh-huh.
And I just totally fell in love with that. And actually, I actually liked him before I was pregnant, but I was like, oh, this guy's way too good for me. So we started dating when I was pregnant. And what's funny is that he was my stability, like my return to God. And I was sort of his rebellion, like dating this pregnant girl. That's as close as he ever got to rebelling. He's not a rebellious guy. So we started dating, and it was just like, you know, God did so much to my heart in the time of my pregnancy, and bringing Jesse in when he did just really sealed the deal. Like all these questions that I had, all these concerns or whatever that I had, Jesse was right there to answer my questions. Hmm. Jesse was right there to point me in the right direction. Jesse was right there to show me what was true and where I could find it, you know? Hmm. That's our beginning. And, you know, the podcast is faithfulness. I just look at that as like, I cried out to God to change me. And I thought it was going to be through some terrible means.
Yeah. And it wasn't.
It was through a baby, which I can't imagine of a sweeter, more precious way to change somebody. Mm-hmm. Really. And even to this day, she's just like sweet and beautiful and amazing. Yeah, I really love in Zechariah 3, there's this picture of the high priest,
mm-hmm.
Joshua, and he's standing before the angel of the Lord. It says, actually, he's standing before the angel of the Lord with Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. May the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Isn't this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" And I feel like for anyone who's a believer in Christ, we've been snatched from that fire.
Right.
Just as Joshua was snatched out of the fire, we've been snatched out of the fire through Christ. And then in John 10, Jesus said, no one can take, he's talking about he's the good shepherd. Mm-hmm. And he said, no one can take these people from my hands.
Hmm.
He says, you cannot snatch them. He uses that same word, although it's Greek, not Hebrew. But in the English Bible, it's the same word, snatch.
Right.
He says, no one can snatch them from my hand. And then he says it again. He says, and no one can snatch them from my Father's hand.
Hmm.
And it's just this realization that if Jesus's death was enough to snatch me out of fire, if Jesus's death was enough to save me from eternal death, his death is also enough to keep me and to hold me. When I was, you know, when I kept going astray, when I kept running in my own direction, his, you know, death, life, resurrection is enough to hold me.
Hmm.
Which I have gone back to that so many times, throughout my life, that his death is enough to pull me out and his death is enough to keep me. So as I think back on God's faithfulness, that is what stands out to me. It's specifically in that time of my life. That is what I learned through that. So
that's really beautiful. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. God is good. I couldn't have written that.
No, he always writes a better story.
Yeah.
And it's always more interesting than the one we would write too.
Oh gosh. Rock bottom.
Oh. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to kind of zone in now to the present. So you just wrote a really cool blog post about God's faithfulness in motherhood.
Yeah.
And you drew from Solomon's prayer when he dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles 7. So I thought the connections you made were really interesting and unique. And I'd love it if you could just kind of walk us through your thought process and through that scripture.
Yeah. Okay. So in 2 Chronicles, there's sort of this like, it's such a climactic point. And you can read about it also in the Kings. But it's such a climactic point because we have all this history of Israel, you know, of Abraham, Moses, deliverance, and then them finally settling in the promised land. But then there's a lot of stories there. And then finally we have a faithful king, David. Mm-hmm. And David wants to, his heart is to build this temple, but God says, no, it's going to be your son. So it's even like, mm-hmm. you think it's going to climax at yeah. David, but then it continues to Solomon. Mm-hmm. And so it just reaches this awesome, amazing point where Solomon builds a temple for God to dwell. Mm-hmm. And so every time I read like those scriptures or passages around there, it's just, I feel like such a giant climax in the story. So the temple is finished. All these people have contributed all these things. All this work has been done. Even David, who's not even alive at this point, had made preparations for the temple. Right. So that's even included in it. So it's just such a great, awesome thing. So in 2 Chronicles, we have Solomon gets on his knees and he prays a prayer of dedication, you know, like, God, this is for you. So he prays a prayer of dedication. He praises God for who he is. It's this amazing, beautiful moment. All of Israel's there. So then God answers with a cloud of glory and fire from heaven. And the people in response praise God for his faithful love that endures forever. And I just read that. I'm like, gosh, God answers with fire and a cloud. Actually, uh-huh. since the cloud was so thick, the priests couldn't administer uh-huh. their duties, right? Couldn't do their thing because the cloud was so thick and the glory was so heavy. They couldn't enter. And so they praise God for his faithful love. And I read that and I'm like, I would have been like, Lord, don't smite us. uh-huh, or, you know, uh-huh. or, you know, if it wasn't, Lord, don't, you know, don't kill me. It would be, Lord, you're so powerful.
Right.
Or, you know, or God, you are glorious and mighty. Like, it would have been like a prayer of like fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. And perhaps they were, you know, full mm-hmm. of fear and trembling. I don't know. But of all the characteristics of all the things. Oh, and that's the other thing. When Solomon prays, he's looking back at all the history. Mm-hmm. You know, they always do that, right?
Yes.
They look back at all the things that God has done. Generations before, the things that they never even saw with their own eyes. And so he's looked at all these things, and then they praise him for his faithful love. Mm. And I was like, gosh, of all the things, his faithful love. And that's actually what God spoke to Moses about himself when he passed in front of Moses. He said, you know, he talked about his faithful love. So, so I'm going to come right back to that. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, my husband and I got to go to Hawaii. My cousin was going to get married, And so we booked flights for Hawaii. Literally the day after we booked the flights, they called off the wedding. Oh. And I was like, which is sad for them. But I was like,
you had a vacation.
No problem. Like, well, we're still going to go.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really thankful that they had that blip because it we wouldn't have gone to Hawaii uh-huh. otherwise. But it was like, you know, we'd already missed their graduation and da da da. So we're like, okay, I'm going to get to my cousin's wedding. So we go to Hawaii and it was amazing and beautiful. You should go if you haven't been.
Haven't it's been awesome. Yet.
Yeah, someday. Yeah, it's amazing. So we hiked this mountain that was, for one, Hawaii doesn't have like tall trees or whatever. So we hiked this mountain and from the base of the trail, you could see all the way up to the top. Hmm. They didn't have tall trees, but even more unique from that is that there was no bend or turn or anything. It used to be a railway trail. It's actually a railway like path that was built in World War II and it was used to carry cargo up and down.
Okay.
So it was like as straight as you could get.
Okay.
And so from the very base of the mountain, I could see all the way up to the top. And at every point along the way, I could see how far I had left to go and where we had been and how far we'd come, which, you know, is totally unique. In the Adirondacks, mm-hmm. like you can not necessarily see 20 feet in front of you.
Right, right.
Let alone the whole trail. uh-huh. And so I was reflecting on, you know, I'm always reflecting on motherhood, right? Because that's the majority of my life, motherhood. And I thought, you know, if I could see the whole trail in front of me, like I could see that day in Hawaii, right? If I could see everything that lay in front of me, I wouldn't have so many moments of like, gosh, if I knew then, mm-hmm. you know, that this was going to happen, I wouldn't have done X, Y, Z. Or if right. I knew then, you know, about this blip in the road, I could have prepared, you know, in this way. And so there's this constant feeling with motherhood of wishing you knew what was ahead. Right. And, but even then, like, because I'm making mistakes, like I've made mistakes, I'm making mistakes. I will make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's sort of a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
Right. But even though I can't see the road in front of me, and even though there's a million turns and there's going to be a million, you know, there has been, there will be, I look at all the things that the Israelites could have said about God. And they praised him for his faithful love. And so just as I look at my motherhood journey, I feel like, okay, you know what, God? How about this? Here's my compromise. How about, since I can't know what's going to happen, how about when I get to the top of the mountain, as long as I can look back and see your faithful love, and as long as I can look back at my mistakes and say, I love my kids faithfully, then that's it. Then that's it. Mm-hmm. So it was just, of all the things that they could have praised God for, they praised him for his faithful love. And his faithful love, his love, I'll say it this way, his love remained faithful up until that point, and even after that point. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like, you know what? That's what I'm banking on in my mom journey, is God's faithful love to carry me. And if I, and that to be my focus as I try to love my kids, I'm going to make mistakes, but I think I can love them faithfully. With God's grace, I think I can love them faithfully. Mm-hmm. So to just let that overshadow all the other things, all the other mistakes that's going to be made, and focusing on faithful love. And I just feel like what a beautiful thing that if all the things they could have said, that's what they chose. Because that's what lasts.
It is.
I mean, that as we look at our own parents, right? Isn't that like, they loved me well. Really, I don't have any, you know, I can't complain. They love me well, or they didn't love me well. They're sort of a piece of crap. You know, whatever your story is, like it has to do with how well they loved you, how faithful they were in their love of you. And so what a beautiful quality of God, and what a beautiful quality to, for me to try to, you know, work towards as a mom.
No, I love that. And I mean, just as with my mom, she always says, I wish I would have done this. And I'm like, Mom, you were the best, you know? Aww. I don't remember those small things. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not a mom, but just as someone who has a great mom, like a piece of encouragement in that way. The kids do remember the love. And she probably didn't do everything perfect, but like, I honestly don't remember any of the things that she talks about that were not perfect.
That's great. That's beautiful. That's what I love.
So, she was there for me, especially like through all the stages. So, but that just makes me think about a time last year when I had a lot of decisions to make. And I think I got in this position of thinking, you know, if I make the wrong decision, it's kind of like you made your bed, you lie in it. You know, that kind of idea of there's a way to find like God's perfect will. And it's kind of like, not a game, but like a challenge, you know, like he's hiding it from you. And that's not the way he is. Yeah. It's, you know, choice A or choice B, I'm going to make mistakes, whatever choice I make. And he's faithful. And if I put myself in the position of I have to make the exact right choice in every situation, of course I want to make a good decision, but I'm making myself bigger than God. I'm saying you can't get me out of my own mess. So that's beautiful. Yeah.
We had this situation years ago after when we were moving out of New Jersey. And I was like, we were actually debating moving to Kentucky. And I was like, gosh, like I was talking to my sister-in-law. I was like, I just don't know, you know, what he wants. And I don't want to do the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and she was like, but what if you do? Is he going to drop you?
Right.
Is your life going to go to hell in a handbasket? Like, no. Like if you make a wrong turn or if you do something crappy, like, he's there. Like, he doesn't just, like, boom, bottom just fell out from under you. Like,
He redeems everything. Yeah. Even if you, you know, even if you do it with bad intentions, even if you sin, you know, there's doing it with kind of, like, I don't know what to do, but then there's, you know, just King David, in. You know, brings Bathsheba in, and he still redeems that.
Me getting pregnant in high school. Total redemption.
So, good stuff. Great. So the next thing I wanted to ask was about this whole COVID season. Starting in March or even a little bit earlier, how has God showed himself faithful to you and your family during this really strange part of our history?
Yeah, it is a strange part of our history. I feel like when you're in it, you're like, yeah, okay, you know, and your thought process is on like the day-to-day stuff. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like big picture, like this is nuts. Like this is a different time. So yeah. Okay. So this is crazy stuff that's happened to us recently. So we lived in New Jersey for 7 years. We felt about the 6-year mark, we felt it was becoming clear that God was going to be moving us somewhere else. We weren't sure where, like I said, we were considering Kentucky. So we move, almost exactly 7 years. So we moved to New York to live with my parents temporarily. Chuckle, chuckle. We've been here for 7 years.
So we've been living with five kids.
Yeah, we moved in with three. I was pregnant with a fourth, and now we have five kids, two of which are teenagers. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a full house. We're looking at a house of nine. And I'm not a good cook, so that's but anyway, actually, the kids always rave that my husband's such a good cook. I'm like, well, you know. But he is. He's a good cook. So we've been living with my parents for 7 years. And we've been looking, you know, when we were in New Jersey, we wanted to buy a house. But it just wasn't coming together. Like, nothing was coming together to buy a house, even though we pursued it several times. So living here, we've looked for a house on and off in the 7 years we've lived here. And have just kind of... Honestly, like, every time we pursued it, it just broke down somewhere. Mm-hmm. And looking back, I feel like God was literally just preventing us from buying a house. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what else to say. That, like, as I look back, I feel like it's been Him. Like, it's not like we've – it's just broken down for many different reasons throughout the years trying to buy a house. So – but the past year or so, I have felt – we have both felt more and more like it is time to move. It's time mm-hmm. to buy a house. Like, just, and we've been, like I said, we've been looking on and off. But yeah, just that sense of readiness and it's time. Mm-hmm. As opposed to stepping out there and like seeing and trying to figure it out and realizing, oh, I guess that's not gonna happen. But then the other feeling of it's time. Like, yeah. You know, let's go. So we've been feeling that way. But now I have to start by praising my parents. They're amazing. They put up with all of our mess and loudness and breaking things and everything. So I can't complain at all about my parents. It honestly has nothing to do with them. It's literally just the dynamics of sharing a space with other people.
Right.
Trying to be a daughter and a mom and a wife at the same time. Hmm. Trying to accommodate, you know, four other adults as well as raise five kids. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'm one of the adults. So accommodate three other adults and raise five kids. It's just hard. Like, it wears on you. It's just, mm-hmm. it's more stressful to have people around when you're at your lowest. It's stressful.
Yeah.
To work through chaotic situations with other people around is stressful. Like, it just, you don't want other people to see you at your worst. You don't want to, you can't problem solve all that well, too. Like, when you don't have, like, mm-hmm. a physical or mental space. So I feel like the stress, so COVID honestly has compounded the stress. Meanwhile, I've also had lately in the past few months, had some health issues. Like I mentioned, I had mono, yeah. like, as well as some other weird random things. So I think all the stress, feeling like it's time to move, having some health issues, wanting to move, just led to anxiety. I mean, stress. What does stress lead to? Anxiety, right. Depression. Like feeling, what's it? Oh, just discouraged.
Right.
Discouraged comes before depression. and you know, it's like this whole progression and like literally like my health is bad. So I prayed. Oh, and everyone's home. Everyone's home.
Right.
Like no one goes to work during the day. No one goes to school during the day, even though I homeschool. So it's just like, and you know, we can't go anywhere. So it's just all the stress really compounded. And, I just felt like, God, I know, you know, when we first moved here and it was first hard and difficult, I was like, you know, God, I know that you use hard things to shape us.
Yes.
I know you use hard things to make us more like you, to round out our rough edges, right? Mm-hmm. And the main thing I was feeling was humility. I realized, like, okay, you're using this to make me humble. Like, I'm totally humble.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's nothing more humbling than, like...
You're like, I've got it. Yeah. I'm humble like, now. I've learned my lesson.
I don't think I'm good at anything. Right?
No.
But, like, okay, just trying to embrace the fact that it was hard,
yeah.
basically. So I really started off trying to embrace the fact that it was hard to the point... So now, you know, that's the beginning. Now, fast forward 6-7 years later... This past several months, maybe even a year, I have really just felt like I was kicking and screaming. Mm-hmm. Like, God, you use hard things to grow me, but I'm getting worse. Like, I'm getting way worse.
Right?
Like, if I get more humble, like, that's a good thing. But I'm getting depressed, anxious, stressed. I can't sleep at night. I'm having all these health issues. Like, I'm way worse. You know, mm-hmm. just kicking and screaming. And so, so bringing us up to present, just a few weeks ago, there was this totally random set of circumstances that I don't know, like at least six things that all played a part into this one weekend, that all came together, this mm-hmm. one weekend where a realtor sent us this house. It was nothing like we were looking at, nothing like what we were thinking, not the kind of house, not the whereabouts of the house, whatever. But all these circumstances came together that when he sent us that house, we were like, we need to see this house. And so we went in one day, we saw the house in person, put an offer in, and then 2 days later, our offer was accepted.
Wow.
So, and there was multiple offers. So I was like, wow. And I, when our real estate agent told us that our offer was accepted, I was just like, God, I've been kicking and screaming through this. Mm-hmm. Like, I've not been embracing the situation you put me in. Mm-hmm. I have been complaining. I'm the Israelites in the desert. Like, where's the meat, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, you give us all the manna you want, but we want meat, you know? And I've been kicking and screaming. And yet, like, God was so gracious.
Yes.
And yet he provided a house. He's done this thing. And so we're in, and look, like, I'm going to totally miss my parents. Like, we've had a great time here. I'm going to miss them. It's going to be really sad when we move. Like, mm-hmm. actually, we had barely started packing because it's sad, right?
Right.
But it's also time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, and that's what I just felt like, God, you know what? Oh, from 2 Timothy 2:13. I love 2 Timothy. It's one of Paul's last letters. I mean, well, that's what people think, that it's his last mm-hmm. letter. And I feel like Paul went through a lot of junk, right? Awesome things, hard things, whatever. So whatever his last words are, I feel like I want to know.
Yes.
I want to know what his last words were. And one of the things he says, he's talking about like us enduring suffering. And then he says, even if we are faithless, he remains faithful.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, that was me. Like, this whole season.
Yeah.
Faithless, whining and complaining. Like, God, give me the meat, you know?
Yeah.
And that was me. Faithless and complaining. And yet God remained faithful. And that just, I just feel overwhelmed by that. That I feel like that is that verse lived out for me. When we are faithless, he remains faithful. So that's this COVID season.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
well, that's super encouraging to me. I just, there's been a theme in my life lately of hearing other stories and seeing things in my own life where you wait. And then all of a sudden things start to happen. And it's not in my life. It hasn't been of myself. And I see for you, it hasn't been, you know, it wasn't that you were out every single weekend looking for a house. Right. It was really clearly orchestrated by God. And, and it also makes me think of too, how God works quickly in terms of, like, you think of Jesus coming.
Yeah.
I was just reading Malachi. That's turning into one of my favorite books. Just how the Israelites were in a place where they weren't seeing God's promises come to fruition where they were at. And things were not terrible for them. They had returned from exile, but they, through the prophet Malachi, God says, I have loved you. And their response is, how have you loved us? The sarcastic barb towards God. And I'm thinking,
That was me. That was my prayer.
That is me. That is totally me. And when I read that, I think that's why, you know, of all the books I could read, for some reason, I'm drawn to Malachi. And then I read that and I think, ooh, yep, that is me. But then you think 400 years later, when Jesus comes, and he starts his ministry. It starts going really fast. And then after he is crucified and resurrected, then the early church starts and everything just starts to explode after all that, all those long years of waiting.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool and beautiful to see God work like that because it's so clear it's not of man's strength. It's so clearly God.
It's
I
him.
Love that.
It's him. It's his timing.
Mm-hmm.
It's his, yeah, it's his faithfulness. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, but when will this COVID season be over? I don't know.
That's the question of the year. Better not be the question of the decade.
I know, right? Right. I'm just like, I would love to not wear a mask going into stores, but.
Oh, gosh. I went out to eat this morning inside of a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, it was scary. I felt like I should be breathing through my cloth napkin. I mean, it wasn't very crowded, but I was like, ugh. Wow, I never thought I'd be, like, scared to eat inside.
I know. It's almost like I feel like I forgot an item of clothing when I forget my mask and I start walking around and
I'm wearing underwear?
Yeah. No, it's totally that feeling. And then I walked in somewhere. I walked into a coffee shop without a mask and I just remember having this weird like panicked feeling
naked.
Come over my body and I looked around and I saw everyone is wearing masks. I've been doing this for 6 months. Why did I forget? So I put on my mask and I, you know, but it's the new normal and God's faithful. God's faithful, whatever happens in our country. And I, you know, things are happening. I've been able to share the gospel with people who are, you know, scared because of COVID.
So
one of my older friends, so she's 86 and you know, I don't know if she would have been open otherwise. So like God redeems everything. Yeah. This is not good that we've had this pandemic, but he's using it.
Yeah. So. I 100% agree.
Well, this has been really fun and I'm super encouraged and inspired as I always am when I talk with you, Erica. So I'd love to help people connect with you if they want to, especially if they're in this region and are interested in having you come speak. Could you give us a little information about maybe your website, your radio show, anything?
Yeah. So I'm on Facebook and Instagram, Erica Renaud, but I like to remind people that Renaud is French.
Mm-hmm.
And so my name, last name is R-E-N-A-U-D.
Mm-hmm.
So the French are sneaky. So they have like slip in all these extra letters.
That's why I didn't choose French as my second language.
That's good.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, so I'm on Facebook and Instagram. My radio show is pretty cool. I have a lot of fun with it. But what I was going to say is pretty cool is that it airs live on Facebook through the Alive Radio Network's Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
It also... So if you are close enough that you pick up the broadcast, which I think it broadcasts like most of the capital region, some of Massachusetts and some of Vermont. So
okay.
The greater, you know, this area. And that broadcasts on the radio Saturday and Sunday nights at 6:30.
Okay.
So if you're a radio person at 6:30, you can tune into a live radio network. Otherwise, I'm live on Facebook on Thursdays, which you can get any of the replays too. But yeah, I love speaking. I love prayer events, like worship events, retreats, conferences, whatever.
So, great.
Yeah. And my website is ericarenaud.org,
not
.com. There is an ericarenaud.com that's got all kinds of different stuff going on.
Okay.
So ericarenaud.org.
Thank you for making the distinction. Yeah, I would have probably gone to .com first time.
I think she's into comic booking or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. .org. .org. All right. Well, thanks so much, Erica.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Hope Unyielding. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please share it with someone who you think it might encourage. Another way to get the word out is to rate and write a review of the show on Apple Podcasts. I pray that this episode has brought you a little refreshment and hope on your journey with Christ. And I hope to see you guys next time.